Get your Bibles out if you've got them, and your insert from your handout, the white page inside of your folder this morning. We're kind of spending time, we've been working through a prayer series. We've been looking at how the Lord taught us and his disciples how to pray. Not so much the the Lord's prayer, but the disciples' prayer. And we're really at a key place in that prayer where we talk about heaven and we talk about earth. And the idea is Jesus's prayer to see heaven and earth collide, to see heaven touch earth. And our prayers are really the connection between heaven and earth. We're praying to the Heavenly Father. We're lifting up our lives to him. And as we do, there's this impact to the earth, because prayer is our communication with the Lord. It's spending our time in our relationship with God. I don't know about you, but it seems like the constant in our lives is kind of stress and challenge, isn't it? I mean, just today, as we walk in here, a gentleman comes up to me and says he just got notice this morning that his boss, who's my age, 55-year-old boss, just died unexpectedly. Boeing leader, boom. It's like, wow, that not only hurts, but it throws a lot of stress in our lives. Just the day-to-day stuff, I just sense people even making appointments to get together. Well, I want to get together with you, Patty. I'm just so busy. There's so much in my life. We're not going to have time to sit down. This week, two different families come in and their marriages are falling apart. And one of the issues is reaction to stress. How do you handle stress? What can you do to trust Jesus in the midst of stress? And in a lot of ways, the answer today is in a phrase. It's in a phrase that's inside this Lord's Prayer for us to think about. What causes stress in our lives? Sometimes it's the uncontrollable circumstances. Jot that down if you've got a place to write there. When circumstances are uncontrollable, that's the most likely spot for us to feel stressed. You know, when we're in control, when we know what's going to happen, when we have a predictability to things, the stress level goes down. But when the unpredictable is there, you've heard it before, fear of the unknown, you know, the uncontrollable circumstances are often where the stress just kind of spikes. That's why relationships are usually the most commonplace, because people are uncooperative. Have you ever noticed that? Now, if you had total control over your spouse, over your friend, over your neighbor, over your fellow church, life would be fairly predictable, right? But it'd be kind of boring. There wouldn't be a lot of spark to it. But people are uncooperative. They're not always cooperating with your plans for things or where you think things should be going, right? So the stress level goes up because people are uncooperative. How about this one? Third one. Pain is unexplainable. In our lives, pain is inevitable. Now, misery is optional, but pain is inevitable. In this world, you will have trouble. Jesus predicted it. Jesus promised it. He said, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. Problems, pain, challenges, they're going to happen. But sometimes when they're the most unexplainable, we don't see a purpose. We can't see where it's going. We don't know why it's here. And we keep asking ourselves and God that question. Why me, Lord? Why now, Lord? Why this, Lord? Why? I don't understand. And the stress kind of goes off the charts. Stress and those kind of questions are so common. And the only solution, in fact, I think this prayer leads us to the most important solution for stress and to deal with things in our life we can ever learn. Surrender. Surrendering to God's will, to God's leadership. In fact, that's what this prayer is really all about. Surrendering to the Lord, to His will, to His plan in our lives. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's the King James Version, which probably most of us learned. How many learned the King James Version of that prayer? It's pretty much one of the few things that we've all got in common. Let's just repeat that phrase out loud. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Can we do that one more time? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You sensing that? The idea of surrendering to God's best, God's leadership, God's will in the world and in our lives. Let's think together about a couple of things. First of all, what's the definition of kingdom? Thy kingdom starts right out there. Thy kingdom. Jesus loved to talk about the kingdom. And he'd say some bizarre things sometimes. Like he'd look at a person, he'd say, the kingdom of God is within you. And then he'd say to the plural group, the kingdom of God is within you. And they go, what? They were expecting a physical, political, governmental solution to their problems. And Jesus said, no. It's not political, governmental. He says, it's within you. He says some other things about the kingdom. He says, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, joy in the Holy Spirit. He said, that's what the kingdom's about. Kind of go, oh, so wherever God is reigning, wherever God is king, wherever God is leader, that's the kingdom of God. He says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God, wherever Jesus reigns, it can be in your life. The kingdom of God is within you and should start there. It can be in your family. You say, this is one unit of God's kingdom led right here around the table. It can be in the body of Christ called Capital Vision. It can be in numerous churches around where the kingdom of Jesus Christ and of God is synonymous with the church. It could even be a bigger group. It's not a political group. It's not a nationalistic or governmental group. He says instead, my kingdom is not of this what? World. My kingdom's not of this world. Don't get stuck on what's here because what this prayer is thy kingdom come on earth just like it is in heaven. What's going on in heaven? Total leadership by the Lord. Total control and reigning of God. And so when we're praying, we're saying, Lord, I want that kind of reigning to happen here now. Not just off in the sky by and by, but right here today, here and now. Lord, bring to earth. In fact, those are kind of put an equation, an equals sign. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done. One explains the other. When his kingdom comes, his will is done. You follow what I'm saying? That's what Jesus is praying right here. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 6:10. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talking. It's not a matter of eating and drinking. It's a matter of power and love and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because when God reigns, everything that we need in life is there for us. Everything we need, the Bible says, for godliness is there. God's kingdom is his plan for history. It's the rule and reign of God in the world. It's all he wants to do. All his purposes are accomplished in the kingdom, where Jesus is king, in heaven, in our hearts, and on the earth. His kingdom and his will run together. Take a minute and listen to this. One of our brothers.
During the time when my wife was in the hospital, and the series of events came together that almost seems surrealistic even now, because I was supposed to pick her up and bring her home from the hospital after she had had a sore neck, and then got the call from the doctor saying that she had passed away, and then he called back a few minutes later and said that she hadn't passed away. You know, I'm not going to elaborate too much about what happened during that time. It's enough to say that at the end of 10 days of this, after she'd passed away and we put together a memorial service, and I had been having to entertain my and console my wife's children and find a way to console myself, and there was a lot of testing, a lot of faith that was being tested. There was a lot of despair at times, hope at times. There was just a whole gamut of emotions, a whole gamut of... And so this came to a head the night before my wife's memorial that we had here at the church, and I was in bed trying to sleep, and sleep was not coming to me at all. I was, I guess all the events of the prior 10 days, missing my wife, not understanding, just having just a lot of stuff rolling around in my head. And I just remember stopping after maybe a couple hours of wrestling in bed and just saying, Lord, bring me peace. And it was one of the most amazing things, because within a couple of minutes, I was asleep. Sleep would have been fine, but he gave me so much more than that. I had a dream, or I should say, to me, it was more like a vision. And it was very, and I still, in my mind's eye, I remember it as if it was yesterday, and with all the clarity of watching the video. I was looking at my wife on a bed in a room. And it was, I thought it was like a hospital, but it was a room that didn't have anything in it. And it was halfway up, it was solid, and then it was glass the rest of the way. And back behind her bed was a sliding glass door. Then there was like a little patio behind it with a bunch of hedgerows. And I just remember this so clearly. So I went over to see my wife, and there was no equipment on her. There was no, you know, she was just breathing and just still in a coma. And I turned around, or I went away. When I turned back around, when I viewed her after I had turned away, someone had opened up the slider door and pushed her about 3/4 of the way out into the patio. And so I saw that her blanket was down a little bit, so I walked over to outside into the patio with her, and I pulled the blanket up on her, and in the process of doing that, all of a sudden she woke up. And she looked at me, and she had this huge smile. She says, Brian, you know, I was...
Our sin defeated through his blood.
And she wrapped her arms around me, and I just had this incredible sense of peace and joy and love, and just flooded over me. I woke up almost immediately after the dream, because it was such a stark contrast to how I'd been feeling, and then I went back to sleep. But I remember thinking that the symbolism and the vision was crystal clear. That while she was in that room, she was in the world and she was dead. But when she'd been pushed out into the patio through the sliding glass door, that was the alternate reality or heaven, and she was alive. I think that that's where I got my peace. I think that's where the Lord knew the depths and the desires of my heart, and He gave me that peace to let you know, Brian, Christina's with me. She's in heaven. And I have to tell you that this is not a little thing to me. It sustains me to this day.
You kind of hear that, the stress, pressure. Seldom do we face that kind of stress, but even under those kinds of circumstances, what's the answer? How does peace come? The Lord gives it. It's from that, your will on earth as it is in heaven, and realizing that there is something greater, higher, bigger, beyond what we're experiencing here and now. Remember, at the very moment that Jesus was dealing with His own agony of the cross, on His way to Calvary, on His way to the cross, He bowed. And the Bible says he was so stressed out that it was as if He sweat great drops of blood, the Bible says. He was so stressed out, the capillaries in His forehead seemed to be bursting because of the stress and the weight of what was going to take place on the cross. And He prayed the same kind of prayer that He taught the disciples to pray, but He said it this way. He said, if there's any way, Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, here's the phrase, not my will, but yours be done. If there was ever an illustration of Jesus going through stress and needing to see the heavenly will of God come to earth, it was then. And I don't know if you noticed what happened after Jesus prayed that prayer, but there was a surrender, there was a willingness to give Himself over to what was coming. No more sweat as great drops of blood, no more stress. In fact, the Bible says He resolved, He set His eyes, the Bible says, as flint to go to Jerusalem. He purposed and set His heart to accomplish the very will of God here on earth, which included for Him the ultimate sacrifice, the cross. How do we do that? How do we experience that peace that Jesus had, not in the agony of the moment, but after that? That's what He's wanting us to experience on a daily basis. Not to just pray some certain words, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven, just like it's a rote thing that means nothing, but to actually embed that in our thinking and our minds and our hearts and to live it out. How does that happen? First of all, I think, jot this down, there's got to be some letting go of control. I mean, you notice those stress areas of our life are because there are so many things that are out of our control. Because they're out of our control, we so often get stressed out about them. One version says, be still and know that I am God. This version says, let go and know that I am God. I rule the nations, I rule the earth, I am in charge, so let it go. What might be bothering your heart today? What is it that's stressing you out? It could be something minute. It could be something medium. It could be something huge. Just let it go. Let it go and let Him control. Realize that you're not in control ultimately anyway. So hard for us to let go, isn't it? We try our darndest to stay in control of everything in our lives. People in the 12-step programs, we learn this really well. In fact, we say a prayer. Some of you know it. Have you heard the Serenity Prayer? Probably the most famous prayer other than the Lord's Prayer in our culture today. How many could say it along with me? God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference, right? Now you know that's only part of the prayer, right? Now, that's the part we always quote in 12-step programs, and it's the most famous part of the prayer. Let me read the entire prayer. I think I printed it there for you, because I think the power is actually in the rest of the prayer. You know, here's the rest of the powerful part to me. Enjoying, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time. Boy, that was a Jesus thing. Live in the moment. Accepting hardship as a pathway to peace. Taking as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, trusting that you will make all things right. We just sang about that. You make all things beautiful. You make them new and different so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. See, that's the idea of seeing our lives through the lens of heaven. Seeing our lives, not just the here and now and the moment, but saying, Lord, I want heaven on earth. I want you to bring your will so done on earth, it's like heaven. It's what you have in store for all of us. Let go and let God. That's the idea behind this. So often we're used to, some people would say, becoming victims. Oh, poor me. We call it swallow and wallow. You know, we swallow our pain and then we wallow in the consequences. You know? Instead, just give it to God. Let it go. That's his, you know, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Philippians 4. Don't worry. Worry can't add a cubit to the length of your life. Let it go. Some of you are worried about aging. Well, guess what? Your worry's making it worse. There's only one solution to growing older, and that's dying younger, and that's not good, you know? So don't worry about it. Let it go. Don't be worried about finances. You know, and there may be things that you specifically can do. Do what you can, but beyond that, there's a lot that's outside of your control. So let it go. Yeah. Relationships, timetables, all the kinds of things we press in and worry about. He says, let it go. Well, I'm spending way too long on this. Romans 8:6. You catch that one? If a person's thinking is controlled by his sinful self, then there is what? Death. It's going to kill us. But if his thinking is controlled by the Spirit, then what is it? Life and peace. Oh, don't you want to be on that side? Life and peace? Yeah. Yeah. Letting go of control. Second thing, let's do this quick. Learning to be content. Letting go of our human, maybe even sinful, selfish expectations. Second thing is just to say, God, you put me where you put me for a reason. I'm going to learn to be content with where you've placed me. Now, this is hard for some of you. This probably is harder for, I hear this anyway, for guys who are maybe goal-driven, purpose-driven, and eager to excel. And for ladies, well, how can I be content? I'm pressing on. You got to find a balance there. But the key learning for us is to learn to be content. Catch this verse. I have learned, underline the word learned, circle the word learned if you would. I have learned to be content or to be satisfied with the things I have and with everything that happens. Woo! I'm happy, I'm content with the things I have and everything that happens, the Apostle Paul says. I know how to live when I am poor and I know how to live when I have plenty. I've learned the secret, underline that. You learn it and it's a secret. Not everybody knows this. In fact, I'd say in our culture, few there are that find this secret. I've learned the secret of being happy at any time in everything that happens. Yeah, I just ask you this morning, do people see that in you? Do people look at you and go, oh my gosh, That person's happy in any and every situation. Here's the question. Would people consider you sweet under all circumstances? That's what he's saying. I have learned the secret of being happy at any time and in everything that happens. Or do people look at you and go, oh my gosh, I sure hope I'm not a person like that. You know? What's he end it with? He ended with, I can do all things. What's the all things? Being content? The secret to being content isn't in yourself. He says, through Christ who strengthens me, because he gives me strength. Don't try to do it on your own. Don't even try to be content. I'm going to be content. That's the very essence of not being content. Say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. Letting go and trusting him, being content. And it's the idea of learning to be content under all. The secret to inner peace in our lives is this learning to be content, surrendering. Now you got to know, when Paul wrote this from Philippians, now he wasn't down in the Red Lion Inn. He wasn't at the beach in a hotel. You know where he was at, right? He was in prison in Rome, chained in a damp, dark, dank prison cell to a Roman soldier. I mean, he's saying, here I am in this negative situation which would stress somebody else out, and yet I've learned the secret. Nobody's getting through to me. And it's this idea of, Lord, your will on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven. Learn to be content with where the Lord's placed you, with where he's got you at the moment, with any and every circumstance that he's put in your life. Because what's the answer? Are you going to worry your way out of it? No, that doesn't work. Are you going to resent your way out of it? Oh, God, put me in this situation. Be bitter with God? I just ask you, are you mad at God about something this morning? A lot of people are. I find that all the time. Yeah, if God would have just made me look better. I mean, God, I could have done better than this. You know, you made me look like this. You know, and you blame God for your appearance or your physique. Well, God gave me these parents. Griping about their parentage. You know, you wouldn't be DNA-wise who you are, chromosomally who you are, if it wasn't for your parents. He knew exactly what he's doing, or you wouldn't be here. You think your parents are so bad? They made you. Think about it. You know? All these other things we get so off and we blame God. What's he saying to do here? The answer's not in resenting our way. No, it's in acceptance. It's not about shame. The answer's not in shaming ourselves. The answer's not in self-pity, wallowing. The answer's not in being fearful. Instead, it's in accepting who God has made us to be, where he's got us. You might be saying, well, why is God so quiet? Why is God so silent? Did you ever have this when you were a kid? You come into your junior high class, and the teacher says, pop quiz. Put your pencils down, you know, sit down. And then for the whole period, she's quiet. And you have to do the test. You know, in some ways, when God is silent, guess what he's doing? He's got you in a test. When God is most silent to you, probably that's the time you need to perk up the most and realize you're being led through an opportunity to show your trust, to show where you're at with him. It's a testing time. Are you going to pass? Are you going to trust? Are you going to be content even within that silence? That's why. God is silent because he's giving you an opportunity, just like he gave Paul, to show that you are content. This is from Psalm 37. Surrender yourself. Underline that. Surrender. What are we talking about here? Surrendering ourselves to him. Learning to be content means learning to surrender yourself to the Lord. Look at that. Wait patiently, what? For him. See, that's a trust thing. When we get so anxious and stressed out about our day or the future, where we're at, it's because we're not trusting. We're not yielding ourselves to Him. Letting go of control and learning to be content. Twins. Flip sides of the same coin. Put number three down there. Laying down your plans. But God, I've got this ambition. But God, I've got this desire. But Lord, I really want to do this. Put it down before Him. The Bible says, go ahead and make plans, submitting them to God, who has a plan for all of us. Now, don't just make your plans and say, God bless my plans. Whenever you make your plans, say, God, is this your plan? That's what Jesus means when He says, as heaven on earth. You know, we want to pray that specifically. Lord, not bless my plans, but Lord, I want to follow your plan. Your plan is way better than my plan. Can I get on track with that? Lay down your plans. One pastor said there's always IASs. Can I go, IASs? What's an IAS? It's always something. It's always something that's going to mess up your plans. And problems and plans will always compete. You have your plans and problems happen. Sometimes it's like an airport. You know, the planes are ready to take off. One takes off and another takes its place. Sometimes problems are like that. You just deal with one and boom, what? I thought we dealt with that. And another one's in its place. Now, I'm not talking about just people. Sometimes that happens with people. But problems that mess up our plans and get us going the wrong direction. Sometimes we wonder, why are there so many problems in life? It's not always because of sin in our lives. Remember in John chapter 9, Jesus and His disciples ran across a man who was born blind. And a key question came to Jesus. Who sinned? This man who's blind or his parents? What was the sin of his parents or him responsible for this blindness? Do you remember Jesus' response? Big word, neither. Neither this man nor his parents. In fact, He said it this way, but this man's blindness is to prove the goodness of God in his life. And He healed him. That's when He made the mud on his eyes and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, you know? And this man was blind. This man that was born blind is all of a sudden seeing, and they can't believe it. People are saying, weren't you the guy that born blind? He says, yep, that was me. They even get a tribunal together and put him on trial. And he says, I don't know a lot about this guy that healed me. All I know is once I was blind and now I can see. You know, the negative, painful, irritant, and barrier in his life was for one reason. And God got the glory. Oh, that we would learn that. That if we surrender, if we yield, if we give it to God, if we lay down our own plans. You see, that blind guy was sitting there thinking he just wanted some money from Jesus and the disciples. You know, that was his plan. God had something so much better, so much greater. And I promise you, the same thing is true in your life and my life today. Whatever your plan is, it's subpar from what God has in store for you. Even the negative things, even the challenging things, even the barriers in your life, God can use to His maximum glory. Only if we'll let Him. If we'll put our plans under His control, lay them down. The Bible says, this is how we know the love of Jesus, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Lay down our lives. Yesterday, Ariana and I, my daughter and family, we went to Harborview Hospital to see Andy. So just a quick recap. You know, Andrew, he just turned 16, or just turned 17. Was in Rochester, Highway 12, waiting to turn into his lane where his home is, and a semi didn't see him, was looking at the mountain or something, and rear-ended him, shoved him into an oncoming truck. So I don't know if you've seen the vehicle, but it's just so scrunched and crushed, you would say nobody lived through that. And here this kid, who actually was in our home from 6 days old to 8 years old, and my wife had him as a daycare kid, his parents were part of the church here, kind of like a brother and a sister to my brother, to my kids. And as he was in that hulk of a car, God provided somebody. An EMT just happened across the scene, and everybody else was avoiding the scene, I think thinking that Andy was dead, just because you would look at the situation, and the car was burning. The car was on fire. In fact, that's mostly what his injuries are, is grafting because of the fire. This is almost 2 weeks ago now. Well, this young man, Travis, God just put it in him, and he did what this verse talks about. He laid down his own life. He didn't die from it, but the risk of reaching Andrew put his own life at risk. At any moment, the gas tank that was spilling out and the fire that was going could have erupted, and he could have been blown to pieces. You know? And this idea of greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. This was a stranger, just happened by. And he pried the door open, he cut the seatbelt off, and he began to drag Andy away from the fire and put out the fire that was on him. Now, amazing event. And I use it as an illustration because even as Andy sits there in bed, Harborview Hospital, he's saying the very thing that I'm mentioning right now. He says, you know, I had different plans for my life. He's a sportsman, phenomenal sportsman, wrestler, baseball, all these sports. He says, I was planning on doing something else right now, but I'm laying down my plans. You know what he said? He said to Ariana and I, God's plans are way bigger than my plans. Yeah. Now, I don't know all the ways God's going to use this young man. No clue. But I have a hint. And based on what God always does, based on God's track record, if Andy continues to lay down his plans for God's best in his life, guess what? He'll be a phenomenal used man of God in the kingdom. And you don't have to go through an accident for that to happen. You know, it's more dramatic when that happens. But you sitting here today, you have the same opportunity, the same option that Andy has up at Harborview Hospital. Will you lay it down? Will you say, God, your plans are higher than my plans. Your goals for me are higher than I ever imagined. I am letting go. I'm being content. But more than that, I'm putting my plans before you. I'm laying them down and asking that your plan would supersede my plan. Give yourselves to God. Surrender your whole being to Him to be used for righteous purposes. His righteous purposes. God will give you all you need from day to day if you live for Him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and what? All these things will be added to you. Well, how are you going to do that? If you need help laying down your plans, that's why we get into home groups. That's why we connect with each other. That's why we sit across restaurant tables and have coffee together. We need to help each other with that, laying down of our plans, putting God first. Because life is all about love. Life is all about relationships. Use your life for that reason. One last thing, I mentioned it quickly. Leave your future to God. So you lay your plans down and you leave your future to the Lord, to God. My mom's favorite verse, become mine as well. The Lord cares for those who obey him and gives them eternal rewards that last forever. They will survive through hard times and will have more than enough, even in a time of famine. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Don't just live for yourself, but put your future in God's hands. You want less stress? Then have more surrender. You want to have the life God planned for you? Lay it down. Leave the future to him. For some of you today, you may be asking, what do I need to surrender? I don't know. But you know. The Holy Spirit's convicting, and he will. For some of you, there's some habits you need to lay before him. For some, you've never surrendered your sex life to the Lord. Well, that's okay. I'll just sleep here. I know God says about marriage, but I'm going to do my thing. God's real specific. He has a plan. Follow it. Trust him with it instead of trusting yourself. For some, it's in finances. You've compromised in the financial arena. For some, it's like, well, I know I should be more generous. I should be more supportive. I'll get to that later. Once I make my millions. Trust God with what you got. Trust him right here and now. Stop compromising. Let him have control. For many, it's relationships. And lots of people that just have a bitterness and a lack of forgiveness. And God's calling you. God is calling you to surrender that bitterness to him. Turn it over. Lay it down. Let it go and trust him. Not, I'm going to get back. I'm going to make them suffer. That's the exact opposite. Satan would want that. Jesus said, you must give up everything and be my follower. Where are you at with that today? Following after Christ? Trusting him completely and in everything? Remember his promise. He said, if you give up everything. No one's ever given up everything. His love for me and others and good news. Who won't be given back 100 times over. And in this world and in the world to come, eternal life. He has a reward for all who would seek him. Would you, brothers and sisters, would you, seekers, yield yourself today? Could this be a day, if you don't know the Lord, if you've never surrendered initially to him, would this be a day where you would do that? Let me just invite you. Don't leave the building without opening your heart and allowing the blood of Jesus Christ to be the forgiveness for your sins, allowing the sacrifice of Jesus to be your atonement, your payment that would cleanse you and give you complete freedom, cleansing, and victory. If you're a believer in Jesus, would there be a time, would this be a day where you're surrendering anew, whatever he's calling you to surrender? Is there something that's holding on to you that you need to let go and it'll have you no longer? Let's make this be a day of surrender on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heavenly Father, thank you for calling us to you. Thank you for the challenge to be holy, completely, fully devoted. Help us just now to give ourselves over to you, to not just call you Lord, Lord, but indeed make you Lord, Lord. May your reign, your kingdom, your leadership be clear, be obvious, be paramount, central to every one of us today. Thank you for calling us to yourself. May we see heaven touch earth today. In Jesus' name.